You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
That dumbass.
Stupid f***ing idiot.
Dumbass.
What a dumb thing to do.
You dumbass.
You're as dumb as you are stupid.
You dumbass.
Sounds stupid.
Dumber than advertised.
Dumbass.
Come on, dumbass.
That's completely idiotic.
What an idiot.
Stupid.
That's just really stupid.
You dumbass.
Dumbass.
You dumbass.
I'm a dumbass.
Hey, let this dumbass through.
Moron. 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 Moron.
Good day. It is a beautiful Thursday morning, February 18, 2016, day 49 of the year. Today's high near 70. Same tomorrow. Ask Lawyer Bill is coming up. The phones are open. Wes has got his little headphones on, his headset, waiting for your calls to line you up to ask Bill about your problems. And Sid has the email thing going, mail at drakeinthemorning.com. In the interim, the dumbasses. And some, I mean, this is like feast or famine. Some days there are so many, you just can't get to them all. But we'll do our best here and then get to Bill pretty quick. This is from Japan. Hey, bless you. Yeah, we're all in great shape in here, aren't we? Check, testing, 1, 2. A Japanese mother is in the news for, well, she and her boyfriend, Takeshi Igami. Mama's name is Yuko Ogata, and they live in Fukuoka.
Are you making this up?
Fukuoka. I said Fukuoka carefully. They have been arrested because they made her daughter eat 30 of her pet goldfish as punishment. So now they're trying to decide how to handle these people, and her mother especially. The daughter was being abused on a daily basis, and they killed all of her fish by pouring detergent into the fish tank. Then they removed them and made her eat them one at a time. Now, sushi is one thing, but this is going to a whole different level. Last year, they were tried for tying the daughter to a bed with rope, punching her in the face, and burning her tongue with a lit cigarette. That will surely get her attention. This arrest of the mom is her fifth in the area of child abuse. This is just the newest, it says here, in a string of these kind of things. These people are beating on their kids, burning them, and making this little girl eat 30 pet goldfish. They should bury this broad under the jail
and shoot her
after they kick her ass.
In Brazil, firefighters were called to a barn to remove a drunk and belligerent monkey.
What?
Yes, that downed a glass of rum and armed itself with a kitchen knife. I wish I lived in Brazil.
I would love to see this monkey and talk to him.
The local fire department said they were called to the bar on a report of an aggressive monkey with a kitchen knife chasing men, but he left the women alone. It was a bar staff oversight that ended with the monkey drinking some rum and taking the knife. How do you not notice a monkey coming in and say, "Oh, I have a shot of rum, please, right. Top shelf"?
How did he get the drink?
It never says. I guess he ordered it. I don't know.
If he can talk, that's a whole different part of the story that we can't even get to.
Well, he ends up getting up on top of the roof, which there's video of it, and he's scratching at the bar's roof. Then he's captured by the firefighters. He's released back into the wild, but then he's captured a second time for acting aggressively toward residents of homes near where he was let go. So now they've recaptured him, and they're trying to decide if they're just going to keep him permanently.
Oh.
He wants more rum.
Or probably just put him down.
No, leave him alone. Just give him some rum and turn his ass loose. Life is dull. Let him
and
go.
Is that normal in Brazil? I guess they just have wild monkeys, right?
I suppose.
And they can just sit down next to you and give him a drink?
I just had this vision of him, like, you know, crawling up on a, you know, on the bar stool saying, "I have a Myers and Coke, please."
And a pack of Marlboros.
And then going ape. This guy, I'm not sure if he is a dumbass or if he's brilliant. A guy in New York lost his wallet earlier this month at a Wilco concert. A Good Samaritan, it says here, returned the wallet and its contents along with a note which he attached to the wallet saying that he had kept the money in the wallet to buy weed with. The note said, "Dear Riley Flaherty, I found your wallet and your license and had your address and your credit card, so here they are and all your other important stuff. I kept the cash because I needed weed. Plus, the Metro card here now is about $275, and the wallet was kind of cool, but it's yours. Enjoy the rest of your day. Toodles, Anonymous.
Why not?
He was on. He gave the other stuff back.
He kept the money to buy weed and for his bus fare. So, you know, he was trying to do the right thing. And this 911 abuse, you just wonder about these people and just the sanity of the human race in general when people do stupid stuff like this. This idiot, hey, it's in Florida. That is a shock. Michael Gilman, 28, arrested this past weekend and charged with misusing 911. He called six times in one day, five times in a five-hour period, says the paper from Daytona Beach. A couple of his calls were talking about Hitler and the Jews, and who was at fault there. He also asked the dispatch to throw people out of their homes in order to serve and protect, and tried to report something that was happening at the White House, and he's in Florida. He told dispatchers that he was calling them because his emergency was being poor and not able to vote. And then he hung up on two occasions. Police went to his house, and he told them that he was sorry, but he was just bored. What's wrong with people? The drunk monkey's a lot more fun than idiots like this. A little break, and we'll come back and talk to our friend Lawyer Bill and get the phones lined up. Their phones are going 535-9898. Call right now and get in line, and we'll get you on the air with Bill and take care of your needs. Your car needs can be handled by our good friend at Allen's Automotive. He and his staff do a great job, the Napa Know-How guys, in the Mid-South area down in South Haven. Winfield and 51, they're staying busy because people need their oil changed and tires rotated, and they do all the jobs, big and small. They can fix anything on your car, and they won't overcharge you. A nice family operation and good and decent, kind people. Go over there. They'll finance, if it's a big thing, they can finance it with the Napa Know-How card, and they'll take care of all of your needs as they have for me for a long time. Go see Alan. They're on Facebook as well. The number at the shop is 332-3279. Go see Alan, and he will take care of that car for you and keep it running because that's what you need to do. Calls coming in are go for it now, 535-9898. Ask Lawyer Bill right after this.
Real Memphis Radio. You're listening to Drake in the Morning.
With Danny, Wes, and Sid.
On 98.1, The Max.
Lines are open, 535-9898, as we say hi to Bill Jones, or from the Jones Law Firm, our friend in the legal industry business. And he's been doing this with us for a long time and helping people get things fixed. It seems that child support and custody have been dominant topics of late.
They're big topics.
Right? Any reason, or is it always that way?
It's always that way.
Bad decisions from the get-go?
No, what you've got is, so the law builds in that we're going to revisit child support just about every year. It's most parts of your divorce case or when you've got a kid, they're difficult to change. Like if you want to change visitation time, that's an uphill battle. But child support's easy, and it's designed to be that way because your income goes up and down every year. So right now everybody's getting their W-2s, everybody's... Mm-hmm. filing taxes, and you're technically supposed to exchange that information with your former spouse or with your baby daddy, so we can plug those numbers into the computer and see whether or not your child support should go up or down for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's kind of the topic.
An ongoing annual event.
Right now. But, I mean, it's exciting all over the legal world right now. You got Scalia gone.
Yep.
So you're going to have a 4-4 court for a while.
Six cases pending. They're back in session in October.
Yeah.
Now, the argument, which seems silly, is that, you know, can Obama appoint a new judge?
Well
I guess that Congress can stop it and bitch about it and act like kids again.
Well, the big thing is there's the unspoken Thurman law, which is it's not a law.
Tell
it's
us about just, that.
Basically, it's not a law. It's just a kind of a tradition that they've carried on where it's not a Supreme Court justice, but federal court justices generally are not appointed to lifelong positions in the last 6 months of a president's tenure. But we're not in the last 6 months of the president's tenure.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous to me to hear all the argument. Obama's going to nominate somebody. The Republicans are going to hold it up.
Yep.
And eventually it's going to go through, and it's going to go through on Obama's term unless I'm very wrong.
Yeah.
We've just never had a nominee go for close to a year without getting put into office.
It's just absurd to turn it into politics, but that's what is being done, and the man, like it or not, is the president for about another year.
Well, it's a huge deal because you've always, since the Reagan era, you've always had a conservative court with a 5-4 decision.
Yeah.
But what we've seen over time is that those justices have repeatedly crossed lines because they are voting to see whether or not a law is constitutional. They're not voting to say
with
this law
emotion.
Is Democratic or this law is Republican.
Well, supposedly they're not.
They're not supposed to.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to. And
right.
if Obama can put forward somebody that'll do both sides. I mean, look, I was a huge Scalia fan. I think I've got a poster of him up in my bedroom. It's just great, great justice. But
he made some pretty extreme decisions and comments, though.
He did, but he could back it up generally with he was always trying to rule on the Constitution. My favorite Scalia comment was, you know, he was a lifelong married guy. I think 40 years worth of marriage, 8 kids. And,
Catholic gentleman.
And they always asked him what was his secret to a long and lasting marriage? And he said, that's easy. My wife made it very clear to me that if we were separated, I got the kids. He said, so I was always faithful to her.
Interesting times. Yeah. I just think that it's so unfortunate, and it further demeans this entire system of voting for the new president or trying to decide who has any sense at all. When they choose some, this guy wasn't dead for 5 minutes till this was a topic of discussion on all the talk shows.
And it's all over. I mean, there's nothing about his memory. I mean, right now, the news I saw this morning is that Obama's horrible because he's not going to the funeral.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's everywhere.
It is insane, and it's silly, and that's why people have a hard time taking any of this seriously. Because these people act like children. And then the media on one side or the other feeds the fire and makes it worse and makes us not care. And that's unfortunate. The lines are open, 535-9898. Our first today is Terry. So there's some time to call in right now. So call from your car or wherever you are, and we'll get you on with Lawyer Bill. Terry, go ahead for Bill. What do you have, sir? Hello, Terry.
Hey, good morning.
Speak.
Okay, I have a niece that has temporary custody of her brother's kids, and she can't get much help from the state on getting some financial assistance. What can she do?
What do you mean? So she's got temporary custody?
Well, she's afraid that the state is going to want to keep the kids. She's already got the kids, and if the state, to give her financial assistance, want to take the kids out of the home and then then put them back into the home before they give her any money.
No, so if she's got temporary custody, she should be able to make application for some. Are you talking about like WIC and food stamps and TIN Care, those type of things?
Correct.
Well, as the temporary residential parent, if she's been put in that position, then she should be able to make application for that. The state's doesn't have some vendetta that if she asks for those assistance, they're going to jerk them out. But again, it's temporary for a reason. The courts are always going to do everything within their power to fix that home situation and make it where those kids can go back with her brother if they can fix that situation. That's why it's temporary.
Correct. But what about on the adoption side?
Well, adoption is the exact opposite from what I just said. Adoption is permanent. Okay, it's where you take them in, and it is as if they are born unto you. In fact, their birth certificates are rewritten. This sounds to me like it was a protective situation where there was something wrong in the home. Maybe there were allegations of abuse or something like that. And what the courts have done is taken the children out of that situation, found them dependent and neglected, put them in the temporary custody of your sister. And what the courts are going to try and do is set up some system where this man can rehabilitate himself and still be a parent. An adoption would nullify that.
Yeah, if she needed to talk to an adoption lawyer, could you recommend one?
Yeah, Patricia Woods in our office handles adoptions. So that number is 761-5353. But again, I think you're going down the wrong beaten path.
Yeah, well, it may come to the point where she may have to adopt.
Okay.
Thank you. Gotcha.
All right, man, thanks. Okay. I'm still, I don't know what just happened.
He didn't like my answer.
Oh, well, life is hard.
Like Samuel Jackson. If you don't like my answers, then quit asking questions.
Say what again? Kathy is on the phone with more child support. Go ahead, Kathy, for Lawyer Bill.
Yes. My baby's father is paying child support through DHS, and he says he has all the rights to see him, and I told him he does not just because he pays child support. So does he or does he not?
Were y'all married?
No.
Then unless the order spells out that he has visitation rights, then he doesn't. Those are two different matters and two different dockets. So one person generally files a petition to receive support. One person generally sets up a petition to have parenting time. And they're heard at two different times. Now, courts can, in that order, say you're going to pay support and you get to see your kids on these days. But generally, they're two different dockets. And until that's done, here in Tennessee, as an unwed mom, you're the shot caller. So until he goes in and files something, it's at your discretion. Now, if he has once he gets visitation time, you can't say, hey, you didn't pay me, so you can't see the kids. Just like they're unrelated, if he's not paying, he still gets to see them. If he is paying, you can't stop it. One has nothing to do with the other.
Okay, because he says that he has the right to see regardless. And I haven't gotten anything on visitation in the mail.
Now, he needs to go to court and file a petition, or you need to go to court and file a petition. If he's burning you up every week saying, I want now, and you want something more put in stone, you can go to court and you can file a petition.
Well, the only problem is he's all the way in Collins, and I'm in Batesville, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks I should get up and drive all the way to Collins whenever he wants.
Well, that's where you get the court involved, and the court sets up a system, and the court can actually set a halfway point, do some type of elongated plan. So if you live a far distance away, sometimes every other weekend doesn't work. And the courts can set up other things where, like, every three-day weekend he gets and most of the summer he gets. There are ways to work around that. But the first step is for one of you to file something in court.
There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling us. 535-9898 is the number to call. Bill has been hanging on. Go ahead for Lawyer Bill, please.
Yes. I was divorced in 2013. We have four children, and we filed in Madison County, Tennessee, yet we live here in Shelby County. And I've not had good luck with visitation rights, only granted every other weekend for a 24-hour visit. How easy is it to transfer our case to Shelby County?
Who all lives here now? Everybody?
Hi. Everybody does, yes.
Then you can make application if everybody's here, but that court generally is going to retain jurisdiction unless everybody signs off on it. But now this is the most convenient forum for you because the kids live here in this county and you live here in this county.
Right.
So it shouldn't be that difficult to transfer it here. You're just going to have to go down and file a motion. Is your spouse she shouldn't oppose it. Your ex-spouse shouldn't oppose it. It'd be more convenient for her, right?
Right. That's right.
But why are you only getting 24 hours?
That's a good question. Well, initially I represented myself. And
there's your
went
answer.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where we have four children, and the judge just hasn't been. I think I presented a good case, with the exception of not being an attorney.
Yeah, that's but, biggie.
So here's you get to be my lesson for the day. And I've said this on here time and time again, but it's always worth saying. Never sign anything in a divorce matter. You're dealing with dividing up marital estate and dividing up parenting time with kids. Do not sign anything. Do not represent yourself. Do not let your spouse put something in front of you and just say, this is exactly what we agreed upon. Sign it. Take the time to take that, at the very least, take it to an attorney and say, hey, check this out. Is this what it's supposed to be? Because I know that the cost of hiring a divorce attorney is expensive. Believe me. I know that we charge a liver and a spleen. But at the same time, the difference in the amount of child support that you could be paying and the amount of time and influence that you have over your kids' lives would be greatly increased if you would have had counsel.
It's a big picture issue. Sure. Yeah.
You got to think marathon, not sprint.
Right. Very good.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Good luck. Yeah, for goodness sake. You know, you just can't do this by yourself. You're asking for big trouble.
Well, it's, you know, there's a judge down there that if you go in unrepresented, he's got a riot act that he basically reads you. And one of the things he says in there that I love is, this is not the people's court. You don't just get to come in, and I'm not Judge Wapner, and you can't just say whatever you want. There are rules of evidence. And if you choose to represent yourself, you're going to be held to the same level as a lawyer. And there's a reason we go to school for 7 years. It's to learn that.
Good point.
So don't represent yourself.
535-9898. The email inbox is mail@drakeinthemorning.com. What you got, Sid?
All right. This gal says, my son received an inheritance from his great-grandfather. His grandmother was set up as the trustee. She passed away, and I never found the paperwork for that trust. I do have the account number for the account, though. At the time it was set up, Investors Capital did not have the trust paperwork to set up the account. They said at that time you did not need that paperwork to set it up. Since that time, a law was passed that in order to get the money, they now have to have the trust paperwork. So she wants to know what she can do to get a copy of the paperwork, and is there a way to find the original lawyer on the trust?
She's going to have to go down to the probate court and pull the file and see who signed off on it. But it may be something where it's probably going to be something where she has to hire another probate lawyer to go down and help her straighten that out. And again, that's something I'm digging Pat this morning. I'm giving her plugs. Patricia Woods can help her out with that in our office.
All right. Thank you. To the phones again, Jacob, for Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, please.
How you doing this morning?
Great. What's your question?
I got a construction law question. I'm a tile contractor, and a homeowner hired me to install some tile in his master shower. And the tile he picked out, I told him from day one, once it was installed, it would probably leak if he sprayed water directly at the wall. And, of course, he sprayed water directly at the wall, and it leaks. He and I were under no contractual agreement. He never paid me for the job that was completed anyway. And now he's trying to sue me for damage caused by the leak.
Okay. Is this your...
And he sued me without a contract agreement.
Well, yeah. I mean, you did the work. So he can sue you, but you were never paid for the work.
Right.
So you're going to have that defense. Is this what you do for a living?
Yes.
All right. Call me or call somebody in town, or just go on Legal Zoom and download a contract. If this is your profession, how you make a living, you need on the back or the bottom of your receipt, you can have a contract built in that'll help you get past some of this. But if this is how you want to make a living, you're going to need a contract. I know that our we're in the South and our handshake should be our bond, but you're going to need a little bit more because you're gonna come up against this time and time again.
Right. Oddly enough, I do contracts on 98% of my jobs. This just happened to be one that I did not do one on. He and I were friends, and now we're no longer friends, so we never really came up with a contract on this particular case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he can sue you, and then
I shot myself in the foot.
Yeah, he can sue you, and then you get to put on your defense and show that you weren't ever paid, so there's no damage. So
it's a wash.
It's a wash. But you're probably going to hire counsel on it.
That's fine.
All right, Jacob. Thank you. Good luck. All right, man. Go for it. All right. Contracts. Probably a good idea, don't you think?
Probably.
Yeah. One more before the break. Jason's been hanging on. The lines are one open, 535-9898. Jason, go ahead for Lawyer Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a quick question. On vacation, private resort, walking on the beach, stepped on a rusty tetanus shot needle. Can I sue the resort?
You stepped on a rusty tetanus shot needle on the beach.
At least yes. You won't have tetanus now.
What state is it?
Florida.
All right, so you're going to need to contact a Florida lawyer and speak with them. But you're going to have to be able to show, this is kind of like if it's in Tennessee. So I'm going to tell you Tennessee law. I would compare this to a puddle of water in Walmart, okay? It's not enough for there just to be the puddle there. Walmart had to know about it, had to be put on notice about it, or it had to have occurred in the past, so they should be on the lookout for it before you can really go after them for slipping and falling in that. So if it depends on whether or not the resort, you know, takes their garbage out to sea and sprinkles their beaches with needles, or whether or not this washed up somewhere, whether or not it's happened before, and whether or not they should be on notice. Now, certainly I would contact them, but what are your damages? Other than it just freaking you out.
A sore foot.
Okay.
A sore foot.
A sore foot.
All right.
All right, have you gone to the doctor?
Baba Booey. Baba Booey.
Oh, you stupid bastard. Okay. That was good.
This is not the Stern Show, right?
I don't think so. But that was very helpful. 535-9898. If you want to get in line and not be a moron, we'd love to have you call. We'll do a little break and come back and get some more folks on the phones for Lawyer Bill or the email inbox mail at drakeinthemorning.com. MemphisHouseHunters.com. Our good friends Michael and Nikki sell houses, and they do it very quickly. They hook up buyers and sellers, and they get them. Well, they could just get it done. They get the price set. They meet with you, and they can get this done very quickly. Their commissions are flexible. That's always helpful. And Michael is the guy for the job. He sold a bunch of homes last year and is back on track to do it again this year.
Yeah, the average agent sells 7 homes a year. Michael and Nikki sold over 60 homes last year, so they outsold the average agent 8-1 and at top dollar. Call them now, 685-6000. Any question you have, no bit, not too big, not too small, 685-6000 or MemphisHouseHunters.com.
All right, thank y'all, and we'll be back in a moment. Line open, 535-9898. More with Lawyer Bill in just a moment.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.